both astrological, metaphysical, physical, psychological, the Schumann resonance, and so much more. Everything we covered in the first hour. But now that we realize that the energies are shifting very rapidly and what we can do about it, let's talk to Max Egan about some of the things that are more important to focus on in this particular time, whether it be on the geopolitical spectrum or maybe the spiritual spectrum or perspective. When we do shows with Max, we always do them right off the cuff. So we never have anything planned. There's some guests that we get some bullet points from, but with Max, it's always a pleasure to just talk about whatever the spirit wants us to talk about at the time. It's been a while since we've had him on the show. He hails from Australia, and his website is The Crow House. And I think we have Max on the line with us. Max, how are you doing, sir?
I'm very good, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Excellent. Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. We may need to reconnect with you because I think Skype's a little weird. But let's keep it going and just see how it goes. But what have you been up to? It's been, I don't know, a month since we've spoken to you.
Oh, man, I've been all over. I've been in Peru a lot. I'm sort of basically based in Peru now because it's a lot cheaper for me to live there. And I kind of like the place anyway. And I went and did the Anacapulco conference in Mexico, which was pretty cool. I caught up with a lot of people there, Larkin Rose and Luke Radowski and a whole bunch of activists. So that was really nice to actually meet them all and sort of see what people are like firsthand, you know, Jeff Berwick and the sort of whole crew. Ken was there as well, Ken O'Keefe. So it was a really good turnout, a lot of people there. But I've been sort of traveling, doing a lot of speaking dates. I came back to Australia to do the Matreya Festival, but that got cancelled. A lot of stormtroopers. Australia's fast turning into a police state. In the month that I was away, they brought in some really ridiculous legislation in this country.
Sounds this is like really, Donald Trump may be running for prime minister over there.
Oh, look, this is really a petri dish over here. It really is. It's a petri dish for the rest of the world to see what they can get away with. They just brought in legislation like last week, 3 or 4 days ago, which sees people get a $5,500 fine and up to 7 years jail for protesting a mine. Get that one? How's that?
Wait a minute. Protesting a what?
A mine. You know, like protesting a coal mine or a gas well or something like that. You can get 7 years jail for protesting a gas well. Right?
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. This is a country as well. Like, you know, we've got severe firearm restrictions here. I mean, you can get them, but you've got to jump through several hoops. But to get caught with an unregistered firearm is a mandatory jail term in this country. You get 5 years jail for being caught with an unregistered firearm. That's more, you know, so you get more jail time for protesting a mine than you do getting caught with an unregistered firearm. You get more jail time for protesting a mine than you do for rape in this country now with that legislation. So I could theoretically rape a woman at an unregistered gunpoint and get less jail time than I do for protesting someone destroying the environment.
Well, you know, the spokesperson for Subway, Jared Fogel, he got 15 years for sex with children. I don't know what the details is with him. But there's another guy that was arrested for a couple of pounds of pot and got 25 years. So here, getting caught with pot is worse than molesting children.
Yeah, exactly. So this is what we're seeing here. Well, here, getting protesting a mining operation is worse than raping a woman. I mean, how did it get to this? You know, you gotta wonder what's going on in people's minds if they're letting their government get away with this, you know?
Wow.
But it's getting ridiculous, and that's what it's getting like here. You know, what they've done since 9/11 in this country is they've brought in so much legislation just gradually over the last, you know, 14, 15 years, brought in 70 or 80 new pieces of legislation, and they've effectively removed everybody of their rights, and the police state's sort of here in Australia. They're just sort of making it a little bit more overt. Now they're sort of putting it in people's faces and just pushing and pushing and seeing how much the people will push back. You know, they closed down this festival, the Matreya Festival, which is kind of a real New Age trancey festival. And all of these people, the organizers, can see what's going on. And so they're trying to really reorient these New Age people to pay attention to their surroundings a little bit. And this was the first year that they had conscious speakers in. So they were going to get me in, and they had Bernard Gunther, that they flew in from America as well. He's a German guy. And we were going to have workshops on how to deal with the police state, workshops on what is legal versus what is lawful, on the meaning of sovereignty. And we're going to have like 3 days of talks and workshops on all this. And then suddenly the police arrive and say, no, we're closing the festival down, safety concerns and permits and all this rubbish. It's going to be a $1.5 million fine if you go ahead. And they had black helicopters over the festival and the whole trip, the whole shebang. Now, fortunately, it rained really, really heavily, and the police couldn't get their vehicles through the mud, so there weren't hundreds and hundreds of police arrive on the scene, which was, they were on the way. They wanted to get there, but they couldn't. So it's getting pretty out of control in this country, as it is in all countries. But so I think we're going to see a big ramping up of it all over the place this year. But the people are you know, fighting back. They are making noise about it. We've seen massive protests in France, and we're seeing protests and marches here as well in regard to the new legislation. So people are beginning to pay attention, albeit a little too late, you know, perhaps.
That sounds ridiculous. Back in the late 90s, they began raiding the rave parties, the techno-electronic events that you mentioned. And the governor was George W. Bush. He was the governor of Texas at the time. And the way they did it is they would use this old, outdated law called the crack house law. And it basically said that if you were the owner of a facility, or if you were renting a facility and anybody was caught doing any kind of drugs there, then you were held liable with prison time and with a large fine. And this was to stop the spread of crack houses in the 80s. And this was an ancient law that they didn't even use. But they wound up pulling that out of the books and effectively shutting down all of these events. My theory is that this was right before 9/11. This really took a head in about 2000. And I think they wanted to stop people from uniting. That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, look, it's always been about that. But they just push as much as they can, introduce little bits of legislation over certain groups and marginalize certain groups and just see what they can get away with. And it is all about preventing people uniting. I mean, that's what's one of their main plays, is to keep us squabbling amongst each other so that, you know, we can never form any type of cohesive response. And this is what I've been saying to people ever since I started the radio show, is that we've got to put down all that stuff with each other, get a little bit of respect for ourselves and each other, and just turn and face the system. Because we're all fighting a common foe, you know, but we're just busy caught up fighting amongst each other. And it's all being done by design. And if people can't see how they're being played, then we're never going to get anywhere. And if we can't put our stuff down and just call this for what it is, we're never going to get anywhere. I mean, I don't even refer to these people as the elite anymore. They're not the elite. We've got to stop calling them the elite. They're not elite. They're parasites. They're
right.
Criminals. They're scumbags. They're racketeers. Now, what we have in our countries is not government. It's racketeering. It's squeezing the wealth of the population as much as they can. The only way you can describe it really is racketeering or piracy. That's what our governments are doing to us. And we've got to call it. You know, people have got to grow up here, and they've got to stand up and call this out for what it is. And it is about energy. You were talking about that at the start of the show. It is about energy. And that's something that I covered on the last show, is people's failure to be able to look at the shadow and people's failure to be able to process what they perceive to be negative information. You know, it's not negative. It's just information. And what's negative is the disempowering emotion that people attach to the information. You know, I see all this, and I'm empowered by the knowledge. I'm not empowered by the fact that it's happening, but I'm empowered by the knowledge that I know that it's happening, because that gives me the opportunity to address it. And all I have to do to address it is to stand up and call it, because all I'm dealing with is people that we employ, you know. And if the whole community can realize that and just put their stuff aside for the moment, stand up, then we can get through it, you know.
Absolutely. It's all about divide and conquer. But, Max, I've got to say, I can't unite with anybody that doesn't believe that the Earth isn't a giant hamster ball spinning around, and there's a hamster inside of it on the back of a turtle and whatever other ridiculous thing I can think of. We'll be right back. We're speaking with Max Egan, and Max, this is definitely the time that we have to put all division and separation to the side and see it the way that they see it. These parasites see it as us versus them. They don't see any division. They don't see any class either. They see us versus them. If you're not in the club, then you're cattle, and it's simple as that. And go ahead.
No, go on. No, it is. It is. It is like that. And that's the problem, is that people, often when they approach politicians, is they try to appeal to their better judgment or their better side or their conscience or whatever. They've got to understand they're dealing with psychopaths. These people have no conscience, and you can't ever appeal to their better side. There's an agenda, and they're going to push it through regardless of what you do or say.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. And I was alluding to the Flat Earth PSYOP, which at first, I mean, let me just preface it by saying this, that I think that some of the arguments the Flat Earthers make are very legitimate. But you were one of the first ones to point it out, that this is a way to divide people And sure enough, I've seen some of the most brilliant minds just completely lose themselves and just go off on a complete deep end because of this flat earth topic. How do we undo the damage, the divisive damage that's been done? Any thoughts on that?
Look, this is something that actually, again, I attempted to address on the previous show. You know, it's for people to understand that it's about energy. It's about energy exchanges. And to understand that belief is the enemy of knowledge. I can't stress this enough. You know, this journey through life is a path to knowledge. It's a search for knowledge, quest for knowledge. And when you lock yourself into a belief, that belief prevents your moving further along on your path to knowledge, because you may come across information which interferes with the belief system you've put in place. So be careful what you believe in anything. You know, as far as the flat earth thing goes, I truly believe, I've done whole films about it and I've spoken about it since the very beginning, I believe this to be an electrical, energetic universe, an energetic reality, regardless of the shape. I think it's a pathway of human consciousness. It's about human creative potential, regardless of the shape.
I agree.
As far as the flat earth thing goes, like you say, there's a lot of information that they put forth, which is quite valid, and I can see why people would latch onto the concept of the earth is flat. I've looked at it, and I'm quite open to the idea. I get accused of being a glober and all this sort of stuff. You know, I'm not. I don't have enough information. I can't find anything that can leave me 100% without question on the topic of whether the earth is flat or whether the earth is a globe. You know, I can look at it and I can say, okay, one thing I can establish is that we have been lied to on just about every single level that you can think of. That's one thing that I know. But the problem I find with the flat earth debate, and the reason I haven't, I keep getting these emails that I need to go on Globebusters and all this sort of stuff. I don't even know what that is, but I don't know. I've never been asked on. But why I don't go and debate this topic with anyone, the problem that I find with it is that there's a certain amount of dogma with the flat earth question. People get this belief system and they lay down a definite and say, this is the way it is. The earth is flat. And I look at it and I say, well, I can say there's a possibility that it may be, but there's also a possibility that it may be a globe, because for myself, having a very analytical mind, I cannot be 100% without question on either way. You know, I mean, I really think this is all holographic anyway.
Right.
You know, I really do. But the problem with the flat earth debate is that people lay down ultimatums all the time and they get very, very defensive about their belief system that they've established. You know, I can find questions with every single proof that I'm given about flat earth. And the problem that I have is that I can't enter into a flat earth debate and ask any of those questions. And I think they're legitimate questions. And I'm not, by asking questions, I'm not saying, oh no, the earth is a globe and I'm trying to defend the globe. I'm simply saying, well, look, I've got a problem with what you've offered me as evidence. I can see that there may be another way of looking at it, because there's always different ways of looking at things. And the problem is that I'm not able to ask those questions, because as soon as you ask a question, you get called a shill or a disinformationist, or they insult you or call you an idiot or whatever. It's just ridiculous. And how can you enter into a field of research where you're not allowed to ask questions?
Well, that was my experience. That was my experience too, Max. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's why I brought it up, because I have my own view on it. And when I presented my own view, you're a shill, you're a moron, you're this, you're that. And it's like, hey, I don't have to agree with you. This isn't a cult. Simple as that. It was a fun topic to talk about. But in hindsight, when the smoke cleared, I do see how it divided everybody. And it's such a shame.
Well, it is, you know, and I called this in like, I think it was April last year. I put out a show called A Plea for Sanity, which was, and I mentioned the flat earth debate, and it was the first time I'd ever mentioned it. And I just said, look, just be careful of how this is being played, because this is being played as a psyop, as a divide and conquer mechanism. And then a few months later, I put out that show called Dealing with Kakistocracy and the Flat Earth Psyop. And I got so much flack for that show from the flat earthers. And because, it's not a PSYOP, it's not a PSYOP. And I'm saying, look, do you understand what a PSYOP is? I asked every one of them who was attacking me and insulting me, do you understand the meaning of a PSYOP? Are you saying that by me naming this as the Flat Earth PSYOP, that I'm saying the Earth is a globe? Because that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the movement is being played as a divisionist PSYOP. Just look at the fact that you are here attacking me for even suggesting that, and the fact that we're all at loggerheads with each other, and now the community has divided into those who believe the Earth is a globe and those who believe the Earth is flat. And everyone's calling everybody else a shill. Everyone's totally locked into their idea and think anybody who disagrees with them is an idiot, and they have no problem in saying so. And it's just divided the entire community. And for someone like me, who, like I said, I cannot find 100% proof either way. Either way, I don't believe a thing they've told us, like NASA or science or any of this stuff. I don't believe a word of it. But I also have questions with what I'm being presented with the flat Earth model. I just do. I have questions regarding the information we're given for curvature and all of this sort of stuff. I have questions about the photos we see of the hot spot on the clouds and all sorts of things. I have questions, and I think these are valid questions. And the fact that I'm not allowed to ask these questions is a problem for me, you know. And when I did that flight across the Southern Ocean from Sydney to Santiago, I did that flight simply to clear up the noise, because I could see all sorts of people arguing over this, saying, hey, look, this is a flight that I take two or three times a year, and it's a flight that runs twice a week from the country that I live in. I mean, I know this flight is real. There's no question that this flight is real. It's a direct flight. It flies across the Southern Ocean from Sydney to Santiago. The allotted time is 12.5 hours. It usually does it in 11.5. And okay, so if this is not workable on your flat Earth model, then your flat Earth model is wrong. And that's as simple as that. And I can't help that. And that doesn't mean I'm a glober. It's just the way the flight works, and I do it all the time. But, you know, having said that, I mean, there's severe problems with the models that we're given. You know, I've got severe problems with the moon. I've got severe problems with the sun and the distance of the sun. I've got severe problems with the eclipses. I don't agree with what we're told about gravity. But, you know, these concepts, oh, gravity doesn't exist. Well, hang on. Gravity is a word that is used to describe the fact that things have weight. When they fall to the ground, it hits the ground. You let go of something that falls to the ground and hits the ground. The question is, what causes that? What causes gravity? You know, gravity is a word. You can call it whatever you want. Call it marzipan. Call it chocolate. Call it whatever you want. You know, it's just a word. So, yeah, gravity exists because things hit the ground. It's what causes gravity is the question. Do I believe it's because we're spinning on a ball? No, I don't. That's ridiculous. I think it's electromagnetic. I think it's like what Tesla said. I think the whole universe is electromagnetic.
I'm right there with you. And that's the perspective that I come from. That's the perspective that I come from, is it's all a hologram anyways. So it's whatever the observer sees it as. But there is something very, very real taking place right now. And that's on the geopolitical spectrum. We'll be right back. So we have the topics that are fun to talk about: flat Earth, aliens, the pyramids, Sitchin, the Anunnaki, etc., etc. But then there's topics that are actually a lot more important, things that are going on the geopolitical spectrum, whether it's here at home, the tyranny that they're bringing in, or the situation in Gaza, which is human suffering, and whether you believe that this is a real globe spinning around or a flat Earth or anything like that, or even if it's a holographic universe, we're still tied in energetically to every living sentient being in this construct. And when you have a group of sentient beings that are constantly suffering, that affects everybody up and down the line. Max, can you give us an update on the Gaza-Palestine situation?
Oh, look, it's horrendous, Chris. It's certainly not getting any better. It's you know, terrible. It's gotten so bad since I was there. There's been virtually no help go in since the bombing campaign in 2004. We've just seen an escalation of violence towards these people from Israel. There's 44,000 permanently disabled people in Gaza now since that incursion in 2014. You know, it's absolutely horrendous. And what they're doing in West Bank as well, it's kind of dangerous to... The parents can't even let their children play outside anymore because there's a danger they may be shot by Israeli soldiers in West Bank. It's gotten really bad. It's just ethnic cleansing being ramped up. You know, all part of the greater Israel project, as Israel's getting away with more and more in the Middle East. You know, we've been telling people for years that this is what it's all about. This war on terror and this whole war through this region is all about the greater Israel project, and the Oded Yunnan's plan calls for the balkanization, the dividing up of this whole region into small sectarian sections. And we've just seen Benjamin Netanyahu put forth a plan to divide Syria into six specific regions. So this is all going ahead, you know. But getting back to Gaza and Palestine, the thing about Gaza, you know, the reason I focus on it so much is because I really believe it provides an opportunity for the world. You know, if we can simply step into our hearts, all of the problems that we're facing in all of our respective countries come from governments who, like I said, these are openly corrupt. It's all racketeering. And they subject us to a legal system which is utterly corrupt. Now, it's this paper-based legal system. But they have to pretend that it's real and they force it upon us. Well, okay, we can use that against them as well. Just about a month ago, someone in the UN made some comment about somebody, Turkey, Greece, or somebody, and they complained about what they were doing and said, you can't do that because the Geneva Convention is still in effect. Well, that's great. That sets a legal precedent. The Geneva Convention, the Fourth Geneva Convention, Article 33 says that collective punishment is a war crime. That means the existence of Gaza Strip is a war crime. It's an open war crime, regardless of anything else the State of Israel does, and regardless of whether you support the Jews or the Muslims or anything. Regardless of all of that, Gaza Strip is a war crime. It's collective punishment, a situation where you have 1.8 million people, the average age of 17, so they're mainly children in this collective punishment situation, being held in this place by a rogue state which is supported by thousands of politicians all around the world, and these are the guys who are introducing all of this police state in our country. All of these people are provable war criminals under their own legislation and under the Geneva Convention, so what makes any of their legislation valid? And if we stand up as a race, as a species, as humanity, and reach out our hearts to the children in Gaza imprisoned in this hellhole, we can heal all the situations in all of our countries. That is the level of opportunity that Palestine provides for the world, if we could just step into our hearts and call it. And that's why I focus on it so much. Now, do that, and then we can get control of these governments. So you can go do a mission across the South Pole and find out if the earth is flat. You'll have the freedom to do all this sort of stuff. You know, and that's where that movement has fallen down, the way it's divided the movement. And hey, look, I'd be quite happy to go and debate the whole topic and try to get some clarity on it with any flat earther if we could only have a respectful debate and we were able to actually ask questions and respect each other's opinions without being called a shill or an agent, because that is utterly ridiculous and that's no way to conduct research. You know, we're all trying to get to the bottom of this problem. There's a myriad of opportunities that are being provided for us. Flat Earth could provide that type of an opportunity. It could help people understand that there's something terribly wrong with what we're being told, but it doesn't mean the Earth is flat. You've got to keep an open mind and not start putting forth these ultimatums. You've got to respect people's belief, not insult them if they believe differently. And we've got all these opportunities. We can rein this whole system in with Gaza Strip and Palestine with what's going on there. We can stop this whole war on terror, stop this whole influx of refugees into Europe, the whole thing. We can call it and fix the whole lot. And Gaza Strip's a key we can use to do that. You know, and there's so many people saying, oh, no, don't look at Gaza. You know, a lot of flat earthers, oh, no, don't look at Gaza. Flat Earth's more important. Flat Earth is the big secret that will unlock all the other secrets. No, it won't, because you're calling it as a definite and you haven't got the freedom to actually prove it yet. If you had proved it, you wouldn't have people such as myself with really analytical minds who simply can't make up their mind either way. You know, and I'm not saying that because I'm a shill. I'm saying it because that's just the way my mind works. You can't call a definite on anything. This is like vegans saying that, you know, veganism is definitely the way we must live.
Right.
And I say, well, hang on, it's an ongoing experiment. There's never been a race of vegans. And to say it's a definite, you're laying down an ultimatum, and it's not helpful. Because to say that, you have to be completely vegan and have children who are completely vegan, and they need to have children who, and then see what those children are like, the third generation. That's when you will know what the experiment that is veganism is and whether it works or not. And then, if these people are amazingly healthy, then you can come and say to me, yes, this is the way we should be, and hey, I'll turn vegan. You know, but you can't lay down these ultimatums. That's the problem that we have with all of these things that we do to try to heal the world. We lock into a belief system, we lay down an ultimatum, and we attack and belittle anybody who disagrees with us. We call them an idiot, a murderer, or whatever, and we limit our path to knowledge, and we further divide the community and divide the response, and it's ridiculous. And that's the way this whole thing has been played. And even with the Palestine issue, this has been used to divide the response as well. You know, are you supportive of Israel, or are you supportive of Palestine? That's not the point. That's not the point at all. It's about children being held in collective punishment and the fact that we're supposed to have a legal system, as fictional as it is, and it's all bullshit, we know it, but, you know, we still can use it. That's what it's about. It's a, it's about children being held in collective punishment and the opportunity that that provides for mankind to actually open their hearts and call this criminal system out for what it is. And to me, that's important, and that's a way out.
Cherie and I did that song, Blood on Our Hands, and people were coming into the comments, oh, so you're for the terrorist state, you're with the terrorists, et cetera, et cetera. No, that has nothing to do with anything. This is about the children that are dying over there. And that's what the whole song was about the children. Kind of a side issue, two of the hosts here on Truth Frequency are Mark Sargent, who is the filmmaker of Flat Earth Clues, and Jaron, who has the YouTube channel Jaronism, and he's also the host of Globebusters as well. Globebusters doesn't air on TFR, but it airs on YouTube. If it's something that's in your heart that you're called to do, I can arrange an interview with one of these two guys, and I can assure you that they will be respectful. They're the only two Flat Earth people that I listen to at this point, because everybody else, they've just lost all credibility with the infighting and the crap flinging. They're like a bunch of monkeys just flinging crap at each other. Christopher Everard really wants me to set up a debate with one other guy, but this other guy has a hit list like 20 people wide, and he posts it on Facebook every other day. You know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to name his name, but I said, no, it's not going to be a productive conversation at all.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. Like, it's really sad to see. Like, it's like he's lost his mind.
Yeah.
Totally locked in, false ego, like spiritually bankrupt, just making ad hominem attacks that are off the charts, way, way over the line of anything that could be construed as intelligent discourse. Just unbelievable stuff. But see, this is what it does. This is what happens when you lock yourself into a belief system.
Absolutely. You know, and it's just a belief system is what? It's nothing but a bunch of BS. We'll be right back. You know, Max, I'm really glad that you're open to speak about so many different topics, because these are things that really need to be said. And if we stand together, stand up, and lead by example, then others will follow. And maybe we can undo the division that's been happening and that has been caused by all of the psyops, whether it's Flat Earth. And again, just to say this for the audience, I'm not saying that the Flat Earth material is not valid. I'm just saying that it's been used in the context of the psyops to divide. Same with the Israel-Palestine conflict. Cherie was just reading on her Facebook, somebody posted and said, Israel has a right to exist. Well, yeah, they have a right to exist, but they don't have a right to take somebody else's land. They don't have a right to kill a baby just because they go somewhere. They don't have a right to keep a whole population of people in an open-air prison. They don't have a right to do any of that. And at this point in time, I would venture so far as to say Israel does not have a right to exist, because they forfeited their right to exist because they don't respect other people's rights to exist. So you don't respect somebody else's right to exist, you forfeit your own. That's the way I see it. But I don't know. I see things from a hardline stand sometimes.
Well, yeah, people don't look at it from the other perspective. You know, I can recognize Israel's right to exist as a peaceful nation, but why can't Israel recognize Palestine's right to exist? That's the problem. They never talk about that.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
They don't. They just don't recognize Palestine's right to exist. They say it's always been Israel. The land is all Israel, and that is simply not true. And the Palestinian people exist, and they have to exist somewhere. You can't just hoard these people out like dogs and harvest their organs and treat them the way you do. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's worse than the apartheid we've seen anywhere else in the world. You know, in its current form, Israel is a terrorist state, and the Jewish people worldwide are suffering the consequences of that, you know, simply because we don't stand up and call it. I mean, I have no problem with Israel existing as a peaceful state, if it's going to be a peaceful state, a democratic state where there are equal rights for everybody, and that is simply not the case in Israel. If it was, there would not be a war in Gaza or the West Bank, for God's sake. There wouldn't be a war in Jerusalem. None of this stuff would be happening. So, you know, they all lived there in peace for years when the place was called Palestine, and Israel existed as the Holy Land within the land of Palestine. This existed for centuries and in perfect peace. So why should that have changed, and why is there a problem now? It's because Israel will not recognize Palestine's right to exist. So let's put things back on the right foot, shall we?
Absolutely. And the only problem with that is, here in the States, we have most of our universities are pro-Israel. Most of them are. And most of them are very much pro-Israel, to the point where, I mean, any Christian college, of course, is going to be flat out pro-Israel. And what they're teaching the pastors and the businessmen of this country and the people that are running things, like in a middleman kind of manner, you know, the middle of the pyramid, what they're being taught is that, you know, this is all about you know, one side wants the other side dead. That's what Columbia University put out a propaganda piece a few years ago, basically saying, here's the thing, one side, and it showed a Muslim guy, and then once the other side showed a Jewish guy, dead. And that's all it was about. It was just propaganda, you know, trying to get it in people's heads that the Palestinians are a murderous people that just want to see all Israelis dead, and that they brainwash their children to do this and to do that, while completely forgetting about the same exact thing that actually is happening on the Israeli side, where they're teaching children to write little notes to Palestinian children on bombs and then send them over there. And then I get upset whenever I talk about this, because the mind control is so strong that even when a former president of our United States, Jimmy Carter, gets up there and starts talking about Israel, everybody, it just falls on deaf ears. The mind control is that fierce on this one particular subject.
Well, it's with media as well. I mean, I'm surprised we're still maintaining and retaining some of our AM and FM affiliates through the course of conversations like this. I mean, not just this conversation we're having here, but the other subjects that are quote-unquote anti-Israel, because I know for a fact that if we're pro-Israel, we'd have 50 affiliates, where if you're anti-Israel, you're lucky to have 3 or 4.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Yeah, what people have to understand is, but everything Israel says is backwards. Everything that they accuse the Palestinians of doing is what they do themselves. They're brought up to believe the Palestinians are worse than dogs, and to even give human rights to a Palestinian is to betray God. I mean, we got the Israeli foreign minister calling for the death to Palestinian mothers because they give birth to little snakes. I mean, this just goes on and on and on and on. It's ridiculous. They're calling for the extermination of all Palestinians, carpet bombing Gaza, killing every last one of them. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's ridiculous. And it's not about Muslims being terrorists or anything like that. It's about children being held in, what is it, the world's largest concentration camp. You can't even call it an open-air prison, because in prison, people get food, they get services,
they get water,
they don't get fresh water. Yeah, they don't get anything in the Gaza Strip. And these are kids. It's ridiculous, you know. And you're going to terrorize these people and bomb them all the time, and then interview one of them and say, what do you think of Israelis? And they say, I want to kill them all. What do you expect them to say? You've just tortured them and brutalized them for the last 70 years and then held them in collective punishment since 2007. Gone and bombed and killed all their families and blown up all their sisters and brothers. What do you think they're going to say when you think, what do you think of Israel? You know, they're going to say, well, you know, if it doesn't come to something better soon, I'm going to strap a bomb to my chest and go in and take out as many of these terrorists as I can. Because it's the Israelis who are the terrorists, right down the line. They always have been. You know, it's ridiculous, you know, that what we're fed about this. And America's just brainwashed. They really are by this. And it's because of the Jewish lobby, the fact that all politicians in America have to sign the AIPAC pledge before they even get funding, which means that they're all guilty of treason before they even take office. They've already pledged allegiance to a foreign state to get funding to run for a political office in the United States. What the hell is that about?
Right.
How can you even allow that to happen? You know, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. You know, the Jewish influence in American politics is the only reason we've got this huge war in the Middle East happening, because without that funding, it couldn't happen, you know? And it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. The Palestinians, I've been there. I crawled through the tunnels to meet these people, and they have such light in their eyes. They are not terrorists. They are the most beautiful, caring, and giving people I have ever met. And I would be honored to go back there. If it came to it, you know, I've been trying to get back in there for years, and if it came to it, I would go there and stand by these people and die with these people, because I think they are some of the most pure people on earth. I really do. And they are not terrorists.
I have a theory that there is a second coming Messiah type that the powers that be have been systematically trying to exterminate. They don't know where the bloodline's coming from. I mean, maybe they have an idea of where it is, but they don't know the exact bloodline, but they know it's going to be somewhere in the Syria, Iraq, Palestine region. And that's why they've kept these people like this, to try to exterminate whatever that child is that may come in and change everything. This is, you know, obviously a theory that's more on a spiritual level, but any thoughts on something like that?
Well, it's a possibility. I mean, you know, you look at the Christians, and they're completely brainwashed into supporting Israel and supporting the Jewish faith, because it even says in the Bible there's going to be this synagogue of Satan, the Jews, the fake Jews, the Jews who aren't Jews, who create all this mess at the end times. Now, who do you think that is? I mean, who do you think that is? And when you look at Jesus, where was Jesus born? He was a Palestinian. He was born in Galilee. You know, he became, it was the Jews who killed Christ. And if you ask the Jews, what do you think of Christ? They say he was a traitor to our faith. He gave away all our secrets. And at the moment, he is in hell boiling in a pit of hot excrement. And he deserves to be there. That's what they think of Jesus Christ. The Jewish faith thinks of the Christian religion. And yet they've hijacked the Christians into supporting their decimation of Islam. And Islam and Christianity are actually very, very close. And you look at nations like Iran, who hasn't attacked another country in 270 years. And there was never any problem with Islam. There was never a problem until the Zionists stirred it up and created all this propaganda and created this whole war on terror. I mean, all the false flags they've done, the attacking of the USS Liberty. Mm-hmm. 9/11, there's so many things that these people have done to set up all these false flags and set up all this anti-Islamic hysteria. It's absolutely absurd. You know, Islam isn't a threat. The whole thing's been set up. And even the Islamic states that we see that are really bad, this Wahhabist version, this Takfiri form of Islam that we see in states such as Saudi Arabia, these are our allies. Mm-hmm. They're our allies. They behead more people than ISIS, for God's sake.
Oh, they crucify people over there.
I know, they crucify them and behead them.
Yep.
It's the same. It's incredible. They behead the guy, then they crucified him after they beheaded him. Well, what's that for? I mean, that's just taking barbarity to a new degree.
It is. They're our best ally in the Middle East,
Max,
besides Israel.
We're about to hit a break. What are your websites and where can people find more?
My work is thecrowhouse.com. You can find everything about me at thecrowhouse.com. And there's another one called fullcircle.net, fullcircleproject.net.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pick it up. Hour number 3 at truthfrequencyradio.com. If you're listening on any of our AM and FM affiliates or on the Genesis Communications Network, you can check out hour number 3, truthfrequencyradio.com/truthfrequency. For those of you tuning in live this evening, stay tuned. Commercial-free segment coming up in just a moment. We are your shining light in the darkness. We are TFR. Just after midnight on the East Coast, we have Max Egan for our commercial-free hour. And we've just gotten into so many ideas, the Flat Earth spirituality, the Gaza-Israel situation. It's really, really a shame where we've come and what we've allowed as a human species. And maybe that's why a reset event is underway, and maybe that's why Mother Earth or nature or whatever you want to call it is going to reset this whole damn thing, because we just can't get it right this time. Maybe Gaza is the key. Maybe if we free the people in Palestine. I mean, I was just talking about this with Cherie just about a week ago. We were sitting down at dinner, and I said, you know what? I wonder what it would take to become the ambassador of the human race, all the people, the human species, the ambassador of the people, not of any kind of country or anything like that. And I can picture the UN meeting where they're, well, Israel wants this. Well, Israel can want that, but we represent the people, and the people don't want all the Palestinians locked up like that. Max, I still don't understand, with all of these countries, especially the ones opposing Israel, why doesn't somebody just come in and just liberate those people? I mean, just for the sake of liberating them, forget about the land division and all that just for a moment, but just get those people out of there. How does the world justify to themselves locking all these people up? I just don't get it.
Really? I mean, ultimately, it's because it's Israel. It's because of the Holocaust. That's how they get away with it, because unfortunately they wear the Holocaust like a badge on their sleeve, and you can't say anything against Israel, because if you do, you're anti-Semitic. There's all these keywords and all these buzzwords that they use, and people are basically scared to stand up and call it. I mean, the Palestinian people themselves have been asking for UN peacekeepers to go down and patrol their borders for years. They've been asking for that. Yeah, so does that sound like the actions of terrorists? You know, they've wanted someone there to keep the peace. They wanted peacekeepers in West Bank to stop the Israeli soldiers terrorizing them. And all we hear on the news is the fact that the Palestinians are stabbing Israeli soldiers. It's ridiculous. You know, you get these accusations, we had to kill this 15-year-old girl because she tried to stab one of us. And we're expected to believe that this 15-year-old girl in a burqa carrying her school books tried to stab one of these 8 soldiers staring around with machine guns and body armor. It's absurd. We heard one report of Palestinians attacking people in a bus station, shooting up and stabbing people in a bus station. Well, for a start, you've got to go, you get your bags checked to the point that they strip you down to your underwear. They make men actually take off their pants in the street to get through checkpoints. And then you got to go through a metal detector to even get into the bus station. So how the hell do they get the gun and the knife in there? I mean, it's ridiculous. And then you see the news footage, and all you see is two dead Palestinians. There's no dead Jews. All these things are set up. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. So, you know, the media spins it the wrong way. Everybody spins it the wrong way. And the UN is just controlled by these people. It's controlled by all the nations with the power of veto. So nothing ever gets done. It's ridiculous. I mean, we have mechanisms in place. We've got the International Criminal Court. We've got a United Nations. But they just don't work because they're a setup. They're a scam. It's ridiculous. It's all based on doublespeak and the illusion that there are mechanisms there that will actually help us. But they don't work because they're populated by criminals and racketeers. And that's the basic bottom line. You know, the whole thing's a scam. And, you know, really, it's riding off the back of the Holocaust. And when you start looking into the Holocaust, there are some really, really big questions with the Holocaust. And the fact that it is the one thing that you are not allowed to research or question should raise a big flag with everybody. Right. You know, here's an event that you, if you question it, you go to jail. What's going on there? That's absurd. Obviously, there's something very, very wrong with this event that they don't want us to look at. And that's the bottom line with that. And that event is what's really being used to set up this whole thing. That's why Israel gets away with all the stuff that it does.
Well, as soon as you look into the Holocaust, you're called a neo-Nazi. And we've looked into it, and there are a lot of inconsistencies with the number of Jews supposedly exterminated, with the way that the concentration camps were being run, the fact that the science doesn't add up, with the amount of bodies that were supposedly cremated, and the amount of time that it would take to cremate a body, and the amount of time that Auschwitz, for instance, was opened. But as soon as you start opening your mouth and talking about this, you're called a neo-Nazi and anti-Semite, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that polarized belief system again that people have. You know, it's the same with the flat earth. You start asking questions, you get called a shill. It's the same thing. It's exactly what happens with the whole Holocaust issue. You know, as soon as you start asking any questions at all, you get called a Holocaust denier, a neo-Nazi, or this or that, or whatever they can cook up. It's a real stigma that's been pushed into people's minds because they've had it programmed into them since birth. I mean, every year we see a new film about, you know, World War II and the Holocaust. It's mentioned in the newspaper at least once a week. There's a reference to the Holocaust in every major newspaper around the world. It's always put in there, you know, Holocaust, you know, survivor, such and such does whatever. It's just mentioned, just in passing, such and such, you know. Such and such said whatever reminded her of the concentration camps in Germany, rah, rah, rah. You know, they'll just put it in there. They just put it in there everywhere. And really, when you look into it, you look into all the information, look into the aerial shots. I've got books of all the aerial shots that show all the ground, all the Allied surveillance shots. You can't find any mass graves. You can't find any of this stuff. You can't find any gas chambers. You know, you start looking into places like Auschwitz, you find they had their own currency. They had their own brothel. They had their own theater. They used to have ball games between the staff and the prisoners. They were work camps. You look at the Enigma code. You know, when they monitored the Nazi communiques for years and years, all the Enigma code, there's no talk of exterminating Jews. There's only talk of keeping the camps healthy because they were work camps. And then you see all these pictures of emaciated bodies. And that this is when they bombed the supply lines and people started dying of typhus. And I've had questions put to me, well, yeah, what about the big pile of shoes? And what about the big pile of teeth? And, you know, well, it's a big pile of shoes and it's a big pile of teeth. Where did it come from? It's a caption. It's a photo with a caption under it. Where did it come from? It's not evidence, you know. It doesn't constitute evidence. It's a big pile of shoes. They could have come from the delousing chambers. We don't know. You can put a photo there with a caption under it. You can look at these big pile of teeth. Well, we saw all these emaciated bodies dying of typhus being put into these graves. Maybe there were guards that did that. I don't know. Maybe that's where the teeth come from. I don't know. I wasn't there. But let's open it all up for investigation so we can clear all these questions up. And the fact that we can't open it up for investigation raises a big red flag. Why not? What's the purpose of this? And when you look at the state of the world, aha, that was the purpose of it. And then you look at the history and you find that they called out this figure of 6 million Jews in 1914. And they called it out in 1916. They were having a memorial service for the 6 million Jews who died in Germany in World War I. No one believed them. So in 1927, they called out that there were 6 million Jews facing extermination in Russia. Nobody believed it, so they had to try again. They took control of the media, and then they called it out in World War One. I mean, in World War II. And no one seems to have known anything about this until the Allies liberated the people from the camps, which, I mean, it's utterly absurd. It's utterly absurd that they were doing all this reconnaissance and all this and monitoring all these communiques, and nobody knew anything about it until after the war. It's absolutely absurd. None of the stories add up. None of the numbers add up. Even if the numbers were true, you'd have to be killing one Jew, or have to do 2,000 Jews a day from the day war was declared until the day it stopped. And it's just not possible. None of this is possible. And when you look at what's riding on the back of that and what the world has become because of this event, well, if anyone can't see this is a setup, well, I don't know. They've got blinkers on. They really have.
Well, one of the arguments, whenever I get into this topic, we always get comments or emails or whatever calling us everything under the sun, Holocaust deniers, neo-Nazis, etc. And whenever a Jewish person will say, well, what about the Holocaust? And let me rephrase that. Whenever a Zionist, because that's what we're talking about here ultimately, whenever a Zionist says, well, what about the Holocaust? I say, hold on. Holocaust comes from the Greek burnt animal sacrifice. Are you telling me that your ancestors were burnt animal sacrifices? It shuts them up immediately. It shuts them up immediately, yeah.
But that's the thing as well. I mean, when it first started, they said that what happened was they just had bonfires. They were just putting Jews on trains, taking them to camps and throwing them on bonfires and burning them alive. Then they realized, well, it doesn't really work. So they cooked up the whole gas chamber thing of the shower nozzles and all that sort of stuff. But when you look at the camps they were supposed to do that in, well, that would have gone straight into the water table. If it was coming out the shower nozzles, it would have gone, because these are all swampy areas that you can't even have graves, so there's no graves in the area. And it all would have gone and polluted the groundwater. And the Germans know not to do that. I mean, these are pretty smart people. You couldn't put Zyklon D in the showers. It would pollute the groundwater. So there's no trace of that happening. There's no element evidence of it anywhere. It also turns corpses pink. So all of the photos that we see of all of these bodies that were thrown into these graves, where are the photos of the pink bodies? Where's the pink corpses? You know, bright pink, all of these corpses would have been, and none of them are. I've never seen a photo of a pink corpse that came out of World War II. So there's all sorts of questions that need to be raised and need to be asked with this whole thing. You know, none of it really makes any sense at all. And the fact that this number was used, I think, 278 times between 1900 and 1945, the figure of 6 million was used 278 times. This raises a big red flag. There's also a question, I think there's a passage in, I think it's Leviticus in the Bible that says that the Jews will not be able to return to Israel until 6 million of them have perished. Some people debate the authenticity of that passage, but I think it does exist. I'm not really up on my Bible studies, to be honest, but I believe that passage does exist. So there's all sorts of things that should trigger red flags in people's minds, and really they've just got to look at the state of the world today. And look what's happening in the Middle East. Look at Oded Yidin's plan for Greater Israel, how they talk about dividing the whole place up. And then look at the Kalugi plan for the destruction of the white races of Europe through like mass immigration and all that stuff. I mean, can you see it all unfolding before you, folks? This whole plan has been put into effect long ago, and it's unfolding now. And if we don't stand up and call it, we're going to be in deep trouble. And really, again, it's racketeering. You know, we can't appeal to our politicians' better judgment. We can't appeal to their conscience. We can't expect these people to do the right things. This is racketeering. There's a criminal cabal, a transgenerational, transnational criminal cabal, which has taken control of our entire political system, and it's been controlled by these Zionist elements that are setting up the state of Israel and greater Israel, basically to ensure global dominance. And that's what it's for. And they're going to merge all the rest of the races together. That's what's going on in Europe. And they're just destroying this country. They're turning this place into an open-cut mine and a police state. So it's coming down. Everything we've been talking about is coming down. It's not a conspiracy anymore. So, you know, what we've got to do, well, it's not a theory anymore, I mean. It is definitely a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. But, you know, what we have to do, I believe, in the independent media is provide a safety net for people, you know, help people find a way out and help give them hope and help them realize that there is a way out, but they have to be prepared to act. You know, don't sit there in complacency. You know, some people saying, oh, look, it's all going to be good. We're going to be dancing in the streets. It's a golden age coming. It's rubbish. It's a golden age coming if you participate in making that golden age happen. You know, you're here in a 3D reality for a reason, and now is the time in history that the human race woke up. And it's the time that we have an opportunity to actually step into our power as humanity and simply call this system out for what it is and create this golden age ourselves. But if we're just going to sit back and meditate and be complacent and wait for it to happen and think it's going to manifest around us, then we're just building our own prison ourselves. And it's the same with all this division with the Globe Earth Flat Earth movement. These guys have got to put their stuff down together. We're facing a common foe here. Don't call it definite or anything. There's issues with everything, but don't lock yourself into a belief system. Don't think that, this is another thing I get from this crew, is that if you don't believe the earth is flat, then you believe in evolution, you believe in the Big Bang, you believe in NASA, you believe in all sorts of stuff that they put in there, which I don't believe in any of it. I don't believe in the concept I'm presented of gravity or any of that stuff. But I simply don't have an opinion on whether the Earth, what shape it is, because I don't have enough information either way to satisfy my analytical mind, and that's just the way I am. So that's the way a lot of people are. So we've got to put all of this stuff down, stop bickering with each other, because we're just squabbling while the prison walls are being built around us, and it's a complete and utter joke, and it's a play, and that's how a psyop works. And if people can't see it, well, I don't know, Chris, I really don't know, but it's time for us to put all that down and grow up a little bit, get over ourselves, get over our own opinion. It's just your opinion, same as my opinion is just my opinion. Hey, I don't know shit whether I'm right. I just offer my perspective. That's all anybody's got to go on. So let's just go with that and realize we're all facing a common foe here, and we've got a real opportunity for unity and a real opportunity to call it out and change the direction the ship of state is sailing. So let's get it together, shall we?
Well, I do have to say, Max, that people here in the United States, I'm sure you've seen what's been going on with Donald Trump.
Oh my God,
they're actually supporting the building of a wall. You're saying the walls, the prison walls are being built all around us. This is
They
want it. People are begging for this. It's insane.
Yeah, look, Donald Trump, this election is not like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, if people can't see how much they've lost their country. Honestly, I've been saying to people, it's like Spinal Tap. Remember the movie Spinal Tap?
Yeah, yeah.
This is like Spinal Tap. This whole election is like Spinal Tap. You know, personally, I think Hillary's already been selected. You know,
I think
they're going to put her in. That's going to be terrible. It's going to be so bad. I hope the people stand up and call that, because this is a career criminal. This is a blatant psychopath. Well, you don't want to have this woman anywhere near anything that looks like controlling anything. She shouldn't even be running a cake stall, this woman.
It's going to do the same thing for women across the board and people's perception of women across the board as the Obama thing did to black people. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's true. You know, everybody is now saying, even the Democrats now are saying, oh, man, you know, we shouldn't have voted for Obama just because he was black. That was really stupid of us. You know, we really shouldn't have done that. And now for the next 4 to 8 years, people are going to say, gosh, women are so stupid. I can't believe we elected a woman president.
I don't think Hillary is going to be selected. I think Trump. I think they're going to put Trump. Yeah, look at Back to the Future, Part 2. That was Donald Trump.
Maybe. Maybe. He's crazy enough to, I don't know, God knows what he would do. But I don't know, I just can't imagine that hairdo in the Oval Office. I just can't imagine seeing a photograph of that hair. I think people are going to think of that hairdo sitting at that desk in the Oval Office, and they're just going to be press that button and just go, I can't see that hairdo in that building.
Just can't,
you know?
Do it.
Have you seen those articles circulating saying that the mental hospitals are being filled up with time travelers who have come back to assassinate Trump?
I've got to kill him.
I have no
idea. You don't understand. The world is a mess where I come from.
I can. That'd make a good theme for a movie, wouldn't it? Is someone saying that?
It is. It is an insane world. I mean, when we have Donald
Is someone
Trump,
actually saying that? There's no one actually saying that, is there? They're not.
No. It's a parody article.
It's a parody, but it just goes to show.
We kind of gotten.
Somebody also wrote. Somebody also wrote an article that said, if Trump is elected, then I don't believe that time travel is even possible, because somebody would have come back and said something along the lines of, hey, don't do that. I'm from the future. And nobody has shown up, you know, yet. So if no one shows up and Donald Trump's elected, he's not going to believe in that time travel is even possible.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Now that makes a little more sense. Yep.
I was talking about the Mandela effect with someone that I said, if Trump gets in, well, I guess the Mandela effect's real and we live in an alternate reality.
Yeah. It's turning into a literal circus. You know how they used to call it bread and circuses, the whole political thing? Now it literally is turning into a circus.
It's going to be food
well,
and circuses. Have you seen this latest product? It's called food.
Food.
That's it. 100% food.
Food.
Yeah.
You can buy cans of compressed air to breathe in Japan now, in China. So yeah, little bowls of
that,
air you can breathe. So
they have that in Denver actually as well.
Well, that's what I mean. It's gotten that bad. But see what happens. Even see what happened to the conversation once we turn to the election. All the conversation turns convoluted and messy as well. It's just like the election. that's what it does to you, you see. You try to talk about this and you just go into this other reality. You don't know what to say about this election. It's just like, I don't know what happened. There was this country called the United States once, and they actually used to have these things called elections, but I don't know what this is.
Well, they had things called brains, but then, you know, they slowly got rid of their own brains, and then they got kind of replaced with whatever the media cultured up as the virus for the day and shipped out to you through your phone or through your computer or through your TV. And I think that there was a really good article that was written by a comedian, and he said that he thinks that the Trump phenomenon is a suicide response from the country. I mean, it's basically the country saying, okay, you know what? Screw it. I'm done. Let's just get it over with, you know, and let's just put him in office, whatever. You know, I don't care anymore. And he's like, and I understand that's a totally sane response in response to everything that's happened in the last 8 years. We completely understand, but don't do it. Don't put that gun up to your head like that, because I agree. I feel like the country, like you were just saying, the country is at a point where it's like, okay, you know what? I'm done with this.
Next is going to be Kanye West running for president.
Right, exactly. Or President Camacho.
Right.
Yeah, Homer Simpson. Just put a hologram up there, you know?
Yep, there you go. Holographic president.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, well, whatever, you know, but it's crazy. But what choice have you got? I mean, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, I don't trust any of these people, none of them. They're all bought and paid for, a lot of them. So, I mean, it's just a joke. It's theater for the masses. It's a cacistocracy. It's a racketeering criminal gang. It doesn't matter who you vote for. The agenda is going to go forward. And that's just the way it is. Trump isn't going to save anything. Trump's a total wild card. The only thing he's got going for him is that he doesn't have to accept Zionist dollars. He doesn't have to sign the AIPAC pledge and any of that sort of stuff. But he'll support Israel. He'll
still
do
support
the
Israel,
same thing.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, he'll do the same thing. It won't matter. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, there's some people that say, oh, well, he's not bought and paid for, so, you know, obviously he's great. And I'm like, wait a second. You need to kick the tires on this puppy, because I have a feeling like we're being sold a lemon, and we believe that it's not a lemon just because it doesn't have Lemon Factory printed on it. And that's not entirely true.
Well, it's a GMO lemon on top of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But that's why we try to raise the consciousness of mankind, so we can rise above this. But it is important to kind of illustrate the ridiculousness of what we see.
Oh, it is, mate. It's completely ridiculous. But it's the same in this country. I mean, look at our country. We don't even vote our leaders in anymore. They just replace them and put whoever they want. You know, Tony Abbott wasn't putting the agenda through fast enough, so they put in an ex-Goldman Sachs investment banker to run things, and he's basically turned it into a fascist state within 6 months. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. It's all theatre for the masses, and the agenda's going to go forward no matter who you vote in. It's all theatre, just to give people the illusion of choice. You know, but it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to the US. You know, probably be the dollar crash, but I think we're heading for that here as well. I think we're heading for a major economic meltdown here. I think this bubble that we're in can't last, and our dollar's been losing value anyway, so it really can't last, so... It's not going to be a very good future if we don't do something about this this criminal cabal. That's been my push the whole time, you know, just to stand up and call it. And I think we are. Like I said, we're seeing huge protests. We're seeing huge marches everywhere. Hopefully there'll be speakers at these marches, and there'll be people that want to push it forward and not just go and march in the street and think they've made a difference. You know, we need to form a coordinated response. So I think all marches really do is demonstrate solidarity with people. But you know, it shows there's other people that think the way you do. But we need to start pushing forward and expressing a loss of confidence in our governments and take the steps to have these people dismissed, because they've sold us out, a lot of them.
Well, we've gone from Australia to Gaza to the United States. Let's go down to Peru. What's going on in Peru?
Well, same as everywhere. I mean, they're doing a lot of bad things there to destroy the country and destroy the rainforest, but, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff happening as well. There's still a lot of people waking up, and there's still a lot of ceremonial stuff going on there. It's good where I live. I'm kind of happy with that. But again, you know, there's a gradual encroachment of the West. Like the town that I live in, I was away for a year, and I got back there a couple of months ago, and there's two malls in town now. that weren't there. These big, huge shopping malls, you know, and you walk in there and there's all these fancy shops with stereos and all the stuff, washing machines, all big supermarkets, all, you know, dress stores and specialty shops and all the stuff you see in a mall, big tiled floor and shiny windows, you know. And you walk outside to the dusty little road with all the motor carts and all the poor people with their little one solo transactions, you know. And you think, wow, how did this place get here, you know? So it's coming. It's coming everywhere. Big, big neon billboard as you walk into town. And all this poverty everywhere. There's this huge billboard with this bright, you know, LED display on it. It would have cost, you know, I don't know how much this thing would have cost. But it's encroaching. They're bringing the West to all of these places. You know, obviously, a lot of these places are kind of envious of the West because they get the television version of what's going on in the West and what the West is. So, you know, they want all that stuff. They want all the mobile phones and all of this sort of stuff. So it's kind of, there's a bit of that going on, but there's also a big resurgence of shamanistic traditions as well. But again, that's at loggerheads with the Catholic population and, you know, the logging industry and everything else that's going ahead there. So it's a bit of a problem. It's a bit of a worry. The United States is supplying Peru with fighter jets, I believe, like Peru needs aircraft fighters. I mean, of course you do. Hey, you got to have these fighter jets. Someone around you might be a threat. Might be a good excuse to go to war with Brazil or Chile or something if they keep squabbling the way they do, because they're always at kind of loggerheads with each other. You find a lot of the other countries in South America, such as Brazil, and they get on okay, but Chile don't like Peru at all, you know, because Chile doesn't get too much tourist traffic, and Peru gets most of the tourist traffic in South America. So a lot of the other countries are a little bit dark on them for that, I think. So you got a lot of that going on. It's an interesting place to live, Peru. It really is. It's a completely different culture, even with land ownership and all that sort of stuff, you know. I mean, I don't own any land there, but I know people that do, and they have a lot of difficulty with people just kind of coming on and claiming the land and stuff, because that's the way it works in Peru. And it's very difficult to communicate with the people that you actually own it, and they can't have it, and they think they can, and rah, 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 and so there's all sorts of stuff like this goes on all the time. But on the whole, it's a good place. It's got a really beautiful energy. I do love the people, and I like being there, you know.
Wow, that sounds beautiful, but it sounds a little bit disheartening that that's happening with the shopping malls, because I do know that as soon as they started putting shopping malls into places around the United States, that's when the energy started to lower as far as everybody's energy was concerned. Because when you're under those fluorescent lights and you're shopping in the middle of the night for, I don't know, a box of nails or something like that, you are no longer really making the decisions. You're kind of on autopilot and you're walking around and saying, oh yeah, I need that too, I forgot. And you're grabbing that off the shelf and putting it in your cart, and it's not really you. You're on autopilot until you get out away from those fluorescent lights and all of that. But if you start implementing this in a place that is traditionally natural, you are going to take away everything natural about that environment and convert it into what we have now, which is a Wi-Fi infested, contaminated energy.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that slipping in there. There really is. And, I mean, frankly, I mean, when I'm there, I will shop at, sometimes I'll shop at the mall if I want something specialized, but usually I'll use the old markets, but the markets are pretty wild. You know, the markets in Peru are pretty wild. It's got all open space stuff. So it's pretty amazing. I mean, I don't eat any meat at all when I'm in Peru, because, once you go to the markets and see how they sell the meat, you go, I'm not gonna eat any of this stuff. So no matter how nice they present it in the supermarket, in the restaurants or whatever, you know that they got it from the markets and it was in that condition that you saw it that afternoon, and it's probably not advisable to eat this because, you know, it's kind of sitting there unrefrigerated just out there on a bench, you know, open cuts of meat with flies buzzing around and vultures down the road, and, like, you know, it's not a real environment that makes you want to eat anything that may, you know, have any contaminants on it, you know. So, but, you know, most of the vegetables are organic and all that sort of stuff, so that's pretty good, you know. So the food there generally is pretty good, you know, as far as that goes. You know, there's like all GMs banned in Peru, so That's all good. You know, there's a lot of good stuff there, but there's a lot of the West encroaching is the problem. But, you know, you're going to get that. You're going to get that everywhere, you know.
If so, I remember the country correctly, I believe it's the UK that has a ban on GMO, and Monsanto actually has a corporate office there, and Monsanto's food is banned in the cafeteria.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
There's one country, I saw a little fact sheet somewhere. I want to say it's the UK. But let me ask you this, Max, about Peru. When it comes to the ayahuasca ceremonies, what are some of the differences with the actual ceremony itself that they do down there that maybe people in the West can start applying to their ceremonies?
Well, look, the interesting thing down there, I mean, you've got the shaman, you've got the Shipibo shaman coming out with their nakaras that they come out of the forest to see. We've got people that come down from like 7 hours upriver. They come down just for the ceremonies and sing their ikaros and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a very, very sacred experience the way it's done in Peru. And when you're in the jungle, you've got that connection to the land where the medicine comes from, you know, in the Amazon. And it's hard to explain. It's hard to describe. I mean, I don't know what most Western ceremonies are like. I mean, I've done a few ceremonies in the West, but only with one particular server whom I trust. And she does things in her own particular way, but she comes from Venezuela and she brings a lot of that to her ceremonies. She doesn't have a shaman singing, she just puts on music, but a lot of the music she puts on is music that is recorded in ceremony in places in South America as well. So, you know, there's a certain flavor of that. But I'd have to look at the ceremonies that people are doing and see what they can bring to them. I've actually done quite a lot of ayahuasca ceremonies, and I had one particularly dark experience. I've done a lot of ceremonies. I've done like 49 ceremonies, and I got to a point where there was kind of this one doorway I had to go through, and I just didn't want to go through it. So, and she kind of said, "Well, that's the only doorway that's left." And so I didn't do ceremony for 16 months after that, and then finally did do ceremony in Peru and went through that doorway and had the most horrendous experience. But that really cleared a lot of stuff. And since then, I've done 12 ceremonies, but only if I've been asked. And during those ceremonies, I've actually been facilitating for the guests while I've been in the medicine. I haven't had any of my own stuff to deal with. I've only really been needed in ceremony to deal with their stuff for them. So that's been an interesting experience. But that's really the only time I do ceremony now, is if I'm asked, if there's a group of people there and a decent percentage of the group wants me to drink with them, then I'll drink with them. But I don't really partake that much for my own growth anymore, because I think I've kind of got the messages from the mother. I think I've got all that I really need from her. Unless there's a particular question that I need to ask, if I get to a point where there's something that I need to heal or some gateway that I need to cross or some path that I'm not unsure of, perhaps I'd do ceremony then. But I think it's really important that when people do ceremony, they realize that it's about growth, and it's about work, and it's about inner things that you need to learn, and it's about your path in life. It's not about going and getting out of it and just having visions and seeing how cool it is. You know, I think a lot of people go into it with that kind of a mindset, and I think the intention is not good, and I don't think they learn from it. You know, I know a lot of people that are kind of like ayahuasca rock stars, you know, that are just really cool people, and, you know, this is what they do, and they, you know, it's all about them and their journeys and all that sort of stuff, and they drink as much as they can. And I just think, well, you know, what are you learning from the medicine? What are you learning? It's really about an inner journey for yourself. And one of the things that I got from medicine, you know, I think it was my third ceremony when I had that major connection with the Amazon, was the mother told me that I don't need to drink to connect with her. This is just the guidance. This is just to show me what is there, to show me what exists outside visible light, to help me find my path. But I need to understand that she's there all the time, that I can connect with her and I can commune with her all the time. I don't need the medicine, and that I must not use the medicine as a crutch. And, you know, I really took that on board. I really took that to heart when I got that message from her. So I've been very careful, you know, not to just see this as just, you know, some weird trippy journey that I'm on. This is a life-changing experience, and it's a guiding experience, and it can be that for everybody who wants to go down that path, but they've got to really be prepared to look at it that way. So, like I said, I don't really partake in ceremony that much now. I'm sure I will. I'm sure I'll do it again. I'm sure there'll be occasions when people want me to and when I'm called to do it myself. But I've had many, many opportunities. I mean, I'm staying at a retreat in Peru, and I've had many opportunities to do it, but I just simply haven't been called to do it, for a while since last year, since probably September last year anyway. So,
Let me ask you this. You mentioned the dark experience, and of course, I don't go into anything too personal. I have experiences that are very, very personal that I never talk about. But can you go into it as far as you're comfortable going into it, just to kind of illustrate to the listeners what the work is actually like, as opposed to just drinking it and just seeing pretty colors? I was on a show one time, and somebody called in, and they had one DMT experience, and they were challenging me on my, 50 ayahuasca experiences. And I said, look, it's a very dark thing that we're doing here, but that's what we have to go through. Well, I saw all of these beings of light, and we were all holding hands in harmony, and we have to unite, and this and that. I said, well, that's great, but there's so much more. If you're not breaking yourself down, then you're not actually getting the work done. It's disrespectful to the spirit, I think. Now, on one DMT experience, obviously you can't expect somebody to go through the entire process, but how would you illustrate that to people? The darkness of the soul, the 3 days of darkness that the soul has to go through in order to be complete.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a shadow side to everything. There's a shadow side to all of us, and we've got to be prepared to face that shadow. But it's where the shadow comes from. And understanding who and what we are, I mean, really when you look at us, if you want to get into it biologically, metaphysically, whatever, we come from a combination of the waters of our parents. And this goes back to, our parents and our parents' parents, our great-grandparents. It goes way back down the line, and all of the connections that they had and their parents and their grandparents and all of those genetic codes and all of those things are all coded into us, so it's a clearing of all of those things. And not only that is coded into us, but, I fully believe in reincarnation. In fact, I believe I can prove reincarnation just by my own experiences. It's just up to people's choice whether they want to believe what my experiences are or not. But, in my experience in life, I am totally, and like I said before with belief systems, it isn't even that I believe in reincarnation. I know that it's true because I know that I've experienced previous lives because I've experienced aspects of those lives in this one. So that's my understanding of that. But the clearing you can go through, it isn't just genetic and physical from all the waters of your parents and your ancestors. It's also all this metaphysical stuff that you've brought on and all the baggage that you've carried, the psychic baggage that you've carried through all your lives. And you can go through and you can clear this. And by clearing these codes, you can clear spiritual paths of your ancestors and things like that, because there's certain aspects of consciousness that still exist in the ether that are aspects of your ancestors and your mother or your father or your grandfather. All these things are still there that are still lost in certain aspects of their path. And you can help clear them by clearing things metaphysically through ayahuasca as well. So it's really, really deep. But what I experienced in this journey of mine, just to cut to the chase and keep it basic, was I experienced all of my past deaths of every life that I'd ever lived.
I went through that one time too. That's chilling.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't that I died. You can go into ceremony, you can simply die in this body and you can be reborn, and that's a beautiful experience. But what I experienced was the trauma that was attached to my psychic self or my soul or whatever you want to call it, because my soul had experienced many, many violent deaths in many past lives. Unfortunately, according to this ceremony, what came through me, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, apparently I've been an activist in pretty well every life that I've ever lived. I've pretty well done what I'm doing now. I've always been a thorn in the side of the system. And so I've experienced very violent deaths in a great many lives previous to this one. And I was carrying a lot of that soul baggage around, I guess. And so I had to basically experience and relive every one of those deaths, or re-die, as it were. And, as I'm going through these deaths, which were all very extremely violent, and there were 152 of them, and they were extremely violent, and this was in a period of about 3 hours, dying 152 times very violently is a very traumatic experience. But And when she was immersing me into it, I'm kind of going, really, seriously? You know, she's going, this is how we remove the codes. This is how we remove the trauma. And it was almost like I could feel, as I went through the deaths, I could feel these entities tearing off me and tearing out of my genetic codes. And I could feel my body recoding itself. It was an amazing experience. And since then, I've been completely clear in any ceremony that I've done. I haven't had any baggage to deal with. I've been completely clear. And I've been really kind of, you know, a lot more sure of my path in life and a lot more sure of what I'm supposed to do. There's certain aspects there that I'm still apprehensive about and still hesitant to step into, certain roles that I'm hesitant to step into, which I've been told by the mother that I should step into. And I imagine if I do ceremony again, it'll be to receive some help and guidance in that aspect. But I haven't really, there's so much going on. I mean, the energies are so weird at the moment. There's so much going on in the world, and I've had so much to deal with just in the physical and in the political and in just own aspects of my own life that I haven't really been able to think about it too much. But it's always there in the back of my mind. But it was a really traumatic experience, but it was a really liberating experience as well. But oh my God, it was dark. It was really dark. It was absolutely brutal to go through so many violent deaths and really exceptionally violent deaths, Chris. I'm not kidding.
Let me jump in for just a moment. I had a similar experience where I can't necessarily say it was past life deaths, but I was having to see through the eyes of people that were, and maybe it was past lives and I just didn't make the connection, but decapitation, being shot execution style, crucified at not traditionally to a cross, but to a tree. He is hanging. There were several deaths that I had to experience, but they each led to the exact same place, which was the spirit leaving the body. And the message was kind of one of, look how the spirit can disconnect and disassociate in a time of trauma. So even though I went through those experiences, there was no pain because the spirit automatically has this defense mechanism that jumps out of the body to avoid that serious type of trauma to the actual spirit itself. And then the spirit floated off into the other side, which was a swirling vortex of energy. And as this vortex of energy was swirling, there were several exits around the swirling vortex, and that's where the soul naturally gravitated into, became part of, and then was ejected out of this vortex back into another life or another existence, depending on how heavy or how light the soul was, or what energetic force it resonated at. But I was actually standing over this vortex, and it was showing me, look, this is how you can escape this wheel. This wheel is inescapable. It doesn't matter what happens. If you rise above it and stay above the frequency, you can navigate yourself out of this vortex and ultimately out of the cycle of reincarnation. I don't know if your experience was similar to that, or if you were shown anything in other experiences about that vortex area. And if so, I'd love to hear about it.
No, I haven't been there, but that sounds quite interesting. What I experienced in this particular occasion was simply a clearing of energies, or simply a clearing of entities that have been hanging on in a almost like a soul level, you know, like almost attachments to the soul or attachments to the spirit or something. I mean, it's a place I hadn't been, you know. But what you're talking about is very reminiscent of things that you hear in Egyptian mythology with the search for the duat and the opening of the mouth and all this sort of stuff, the weighing of the heart. Now, this sounds a lot more like what the Egyptians had going on in ancient Egypt. You know, I firmly believe that a lot of ancient Egypt, a lot of the temples they built in Egypt, these were actually books that set up harmonic resonances. I spoke about all this in The Awakening. You know, these things were books. You go into these temples, they're designed in a certain energetic way to teach you the language of the heart, the language of feeling and emotion, and to search for this certain place, which was the duat, which you had to go through this certain way and certain ritual to escape the cycle of reincarnation. I also think that's what mummification was about. I don't think that souls are reincarnated until the body disappears. I've read certain aspects of this in Egyptian mythology and Egyptian texts. I can't confirm it, but I suggest that that's why there was mummification, because they wanted to escape this earthly plane and escape the cycle of reincarnation. So if they can preserve their body so it never ever decays, then their soul will never ever be completely free of this reality, so they'll never have to come back into another body. Maybe there's somewhere where they can figure out how to get out. I mean, I don't know what the real plan is, but it seems that mummification was done to prevent reincarnation. There's also aspects of that you could say, well, is this a benevolent thing or a malevolent thing? You know, because it happened when Upper and Lower Egypt were divided, and Akhenaten and the whole thing. This is where it all came in. So, again, is this being done purposely so that you can escape the cycle of reincarnation and not come back, or is it being done to prevent your soul from ever being able to leave this earthly realm and being totally trapped to it, but never being able to come back to work out, you know, to go through your proper path? So, is it done to trap souls, or is it done to free souls from the cycle? That's the question, you know.
I think you're totally spot on with number two. I think that is exactly what happened, because you have the time of the Hyksos pharaohs, and during that time, things were extremely chaotic, and a lot of the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, was lost, because a lot of the priests that were Isian and Osirian priests were murdered around that time too. And I don't know what happened, but I do know that the Book of the Dead, the duat, the opening of the mouth, the weighing of the heart, these are all things that occur on the inside. These are all things that occur aside from the human body.
Exactly.
And it has nothing to do with your physical constitution whatsoever. It has to do with your heart and your bravery and how much of each is in your heart, because you can be clever and make it through all the 12 levels of the Book of the Dead. You can make it through if you're clever. But you can't make it through the weighing of the heart. Cleverness
exactly.
will not get you through that, and neither will making your body mummified.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that, I think that it's quite possibly the latter, that there were certain individuals who were perhaps enlightened, or even were perhaps, you know, not wanted to come back, and so these individuals were mummified to prevent their souls reincarnating. Perhaps they were very advanced beings, or who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, it's just a theory. All you can do is speculate on this. I mean, and honestly, man, I don't even really like speculating on these sorts of things. I mean, I have these ideas and I discuss them to myself, but I don't really like putting them out there in public, because I think when you speculate, you just muddy the waters. That's why I have so much problem with calling definites on things, and a lot of the stuff that's going on, even with the flat earth stuff, getting back to that, is because there's so much stuff being out there that hasn't been proven. People put it out there as suggestions based on what information they've got, and they just muddy the waters. You know, we need real information and real data on all of these things. And looking back at what you've said about this vortex and the weighing of the heart and the Egyptian thing, it's very difficult to find real data on that, you know, anything to do with Egypt, because, you know, it's been polluted by Egyptology, of course. You know, even the building of the pyramids and who constructed all this stuff has been polluted by Egyptology. They won't give us
right.
the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't had the truth on any of these things. And so, yeah, I think these are important subjects, and they're things that we should investigate. But again, we've got to be careful not to lock ourselves into belief systems. You know, I think mummification in the division of Upper and Lower Egypt was a really significant part, really significant point. You know, Akhenaten and the whole thing. This is where it all seems to have gone wrong. This seems to be around there or a little bit before there. It seems to be, you know, war and all this sort of stuff. We didn't seem to have war back in the ancient history. There didn't seem to be real wars and things. These all came about much later. And it's hard to get a timeline on any of this. I mean, who can even date this stuff, you know? They tell us 4,500 years. The stars tell us 10,500 years. I mean, it could even go back further. We just don't know. You know, ultimately, I've figured out that all we can really be sure on is that which exists within living memory. You know, all the rest of it was just written in books based on other people's perspectives. So, I just don't believe anything anymore, Chris. I really don't. And nothing that I don't experience myself. I think we've got to keep our minds open, and we've got to establish the freedom to find out what is actually going on here, because there are so many questions. There really are. I mean, in fact, some of the stuff the flat earthers have brought up about the eclipses and all this sort of stuff, it's good that this has been brought to people's attention, because there's something seriously wrong with the eclipses. This is all messed up. I mean, there's, you know, you look at the Vedic texts, they say that there are two other bodies that orbit. Because how can you see the moon in the sky, you know, a crescent moon in the sky, when you can see the sun in the sky? That doesn't make sense, for the
right.
shadow of the earth forces the shadow on the moon. It doesn't. There's something else causing that shadow. So there's all sorts of weird stuff going on, and that's for sure, and it's true. But we can speculate on all of this stuff all we want, and we're never going to know. And as soon as we lock ourselves into a belief and create a definite and an ultimatum, we just create argument and division. We never get anywhere. You know, all these mysteries exist, all these questions exist because we're not free. We're controlled. We don't even know what our history is. We don't even know what we are. You know, so we got to do something about that. And we've got to call this system out, you know. So, you know, I'm really hoping to see some unity. I'm really hoping the flat earthers and the globe earthers put down all their division, because we had a real chance of freedom last year. We had a real crescendo building, a real wave building of awareness. And we need to get that back. We need to get that respect back. And, you know, I think we've got to do it this year. I really do. I think things are getting really tight. And that's not fear-mongering. It's just looking at the state of this country now. I've come back. And if it comes online here, folks, it's going to come online everywhere. And it's coming online here. It's really open. So, you know, Australia is not the country that it was a couple of years ago. So, I don't know. I mean, all this stuff's great and it's interesting. And a lot of the people, even getting back to ayahuasca, what you're learning in ceremony, folks, you've got to apply this to the world. All these spiritual understandings and all these things you're getting, do all that inner work and all that inner growth, but don't turn it into an indulgence. Apply that understanding to the society that you live in. Use it to connect with the people around you and bring this message out, because everyone will be open to it now. Everyone can see the police state in their face. Everyone wants to know what's going on. People are more open to conspiracy theories now and realizing that it's not a theory. So, you know, we can take advantage of this situation. There's opportunity in all crisis, and we've got to seize the moment, I think, Chris.
Very well said. And let me say this. You said there's no record of war back in ancient time, and not necessarily no record, but there weren't these, you know, huge wars, and we weren't in constant conflict. The one thing that changed is monotheism versus the whole pantheon of deities. And these deities, I don't think were actual physical deities, but rather they were energies that we were tapping into and understanding. For instance, Isis, the goddess, was empathy and love, and she was the mother, the nurturer. And we've completely X'd this out, completely ignored all these other deities, called them myth and mythos and just a bunch of legend, and that's it. While what's really happening is we're disconnecting and ignoring those energies of empathy and love and nurturing, and we're focusing on this one very destructive deity that we call Allah or Yahweh or whatever, which is a very male dominant war force, and as a result, that we've become a war species.
Yeah, well, look, you really, when you look at it, a lot of those ancient deities and all this pantheonic way we used to live, this was kind of plant spirits, like, you know ayahuasca and you know, Huachuma and mescalito and all this sort of stuff, and different plant spirits and plant medicines and this sort of stuff. This is really what a lot of these more ancient, you know, really when you look at pantheonism, you know, nature spirits and all this sort of stuff. That's what that's really all about. Really, when you look at the whole Yahweh monotheistic thing, you know, for the many problems that people may have with John Lash, I really think that his book, Not in His Image, was a valuable contribution to understanding that, his interpretation of the Nag Hammadi Library and the concept of the Archons and who that actually was that made that pact with these people, the Abrahamic pact, you know, the covenant with Abraham. Who was this Yahweh? Was it Yaldabaoth, the Archon, and all this sort of stuff? I mean, this is all quite feasible, but what is it? I mean, this is, you can look at this on a physical level, or you can look at it on a metaphysical level, and I really think that's where it exists. It's metaphysical, it's hyperdimensional, and to understand that, you've got to understand this is a universe of energy. It's conscious energy. I really fully believe that that's what the Creator is, that God, if you want to give it a name, is the energetic stuff of the universe itself, and that there's certain hyperdimensional anomaly going on, whether it's been put there purposely to help us grow or what it is. I mean, all these dark forces, all this shadow stuff, to me, this is how we grow. Without all of this bad stuff going on in the world, how would we ever grow? How would we ever step into ourselves? You know, there's certain forces that have trained us to become sheeple, and it's gotten so bad now because there's this hyperdimensional stuff has kind of latched on, or whatever it is. I don't know. I mean, I'm clutching at straws here, maybe trying to figure it out, but there's something really dark here. There's nothing sane or rational or even human about what these forces that control this world do. And for me, it's an opportunity for us to put down our fear and realize that we can step into this and call it, because it's all our compliance. It's all fiction. It's rubbish, you know. And I think humanity is getting pushed to the point that they have to do that. We've got to stand up and step into who and what we are. You know, this dark archontic energy or this monotheistic mindset that we've got, it doesn't help us. You know, we are the mind of God. I truly believe that. We are the mind of the conscious energy that runs this universe. Whether we are the only manifestation of that mind in a manipulative sense, like us here with our you know, opposable thumbs and all the things we can do in our creative minds, maybe we're the only manifestation of it. Maybe there are thousands or millions of manifestations of it all over the universe. Who knows? You know, maybe we live on a flat earth, maybe we live on a ball, maybe we live in a mainframe. Who knows? Let's establish the freedom to find out what the hell is going on here, because it's certainly not what they tell us. You know, and, you know, I don't know. It's hard to speculate on any of that sort of stuff. I mean, I have a real problem with monotheistic religions. I think they've caused a hell of a amount of damage. I personally don't need any book to establish my connection to the Creator. And even when I was in Gaza, this is conversations I used to have with the Muslims. I used to say all this stuff about the energetic universe, and they used to say, oh, everything you're saying is in the Quran. You're a Muslim, you just don't know it. And I'd say, well, if everything I say is in the Quran and Muhammad just channeled all this from God, what's to say I'm not channeling it from God, and why do I need the Quran to get in the way of me channeling this from the Creator? And if I've already got all the information that's in the Quran without reading the Quran, why do I need to read the Quran? And they couldn't argue with me. So,
Max, yeah. We have a minute and a half left. What would you like to leave the audience with?
Love each other. Please love each other. Put down all this stuff. Stop fighting. It, you know, we can figure out what's going on here as soon as we've established the freedom to do it. Don't lock yourself into belief systems. Don't shout definite on anything that you believe. Just respect people and realize that the whole world's programmed. Nobody knows what's going on, and we've got a real opportunity here to establish the freedom to find out if we can just put down our stuff and stop squabbling while this prison's being built around us. And I love you all, and let's just get ourselves together, shall we? Let's get over ourselves, get over our opinions, and turn and face this system and establish freedom once and for all. I love you all.
Very well said. And when is the next speaking engagement?
Look, I'm speaking at the Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia on, I think, the 17th or the 17th of April. I'm speaking at AV7 in England on, I think it's May 13th or 14th. I'm speaking in Amsterdam on May 21st. There may be a few gigs. I think there's one in Ohio as well on April 29th. There's a gig in Ohio. There may be a few other appearances I'm doing in Ohio in late April as well. So. Yeah, and excellent. My website is thecrowhouse.com, and my other website is fullcircleproject.net, and that's where you can go and link up and form action groups in your own community and start pushing this forward where you live, on the ground with your friends.
Excellent. Always a pleasure, and very, very enlightening, Max. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in this evening. Stay tuned. Much more coming up right here on truthfrequencyradio.com. Your protection from deception. Kiss the one you love right now, because you never know when the last time is going to be.
Love you guys, and we'll see you next week. Hey, Max, that was awesome, man. Thank you very much.
No problem, bro. It was good. It was good to cover that Flat Earth shit as well. So,
I just felt compelled to just bring it up for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I was tapping into your frequency and it was something that was on your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Did you listen to the show that I put out yesterday?
No.
The day before, I sort of touched on it there as well.
Did you?
It was a pretty powerful show. It was one I put out called Control and Belief. It's a pretty powerful show, I thought. So check it out if you get a chance. Maybe share it for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's really important that people put down all this shit, Chris. They really can. And it's got to be open for questions. You've got to have questions about it. I've got some real freaking questions as far as this formula they're using for curvature, brother. I really do. They're using the wrong formula. you know, this 8 inches per mile squared applied to line of sight. You can't do that. That's backwards. That's not how you measure curvature. So.
Right.
I personally, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have you seen any of the geodetic survey information? I've spoken to surveyors about it, you know. How do you measure for curvature? You know, 8 inches per mile square off line of sight. And they go, no, that's not how you measure curvature. You measure curvature by variations of angle in the perpendicular. That's how you test for curvature. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
Variations in angle of the perpendicular?
Yeah.
It's like sticking toothpicks in an orange and seeing the variation in the angles of the toothpicks to get the size of the orange.
Right.
This is how these guys have triangulated and made maps for years. It's how they mapped and measured the entire world. It's how they measured the height of Mount Everest. It's how they made all the maps that the flat earthers are using to state their case with triangulation through theodolites. Okay? So you could do this yourself. Go and hire a theodolite from the local council or get a surveyor. Go and pay a guy freaking $50 to come and do an experiment with you. Give him a fucking case of beer or something. Say, hey, man, I want to do an experiment. I want to test for curvature in my local area, see what it's like. Okay? What you do, and as you go and you find a level area of ground, get a bit of highway or fucking whatever, a piece of highway is fine, you know, or a plane or whatever. Put in a flat plate on the ground and take a spirit level and make it perfectly flat, okay, so it's perfectly level on that particular spot on the earth, and then erect an upright, a perpendicular. Okay? Use a builder's square and a spirit level to get that perfectly upright, perfectly perpendicular in relation to that level plate on the ground. Okay? You got me?
Right.
You got that? You can picture that? It's perfectly perpendicular, sticking out directly, one straight out of the earth. Okay? That perpendicular, according to that level plate. Now go a mile down the road and do it again. Put down a level plate and put in a perpendicular. Now get a theodolite and shine and look along the line of those two perpendiculars. And measure the variation in angle of the two perpendiculars, okay? And what you're going to find is there's about one arc minute. About the measurement that my friend got was one arc minute and 11 seconds of variation in the angle. Okay, one arc minute is 1/60th of 1 degree plus 11 seconds over 1 mile, okay? 1/60th of 1 degree and 11 seconds. So that indicates a curvature rate of approximately 1 degree over 60 or 70 miles. That's how much visible curvature you are going to see. So if you were looking at an object 60 or 70 miles away on the horizon, there's going to be 1 degree of curvature between you and that object. Of course you can fucking see it, you know?
Mm.
So that's how you measure curvature. You don't apply spherical trigonometry to line of sight. What people need to do is get a CAD drawing program. I mean, I can't work a CAD drawing, and I'd be really interested to see the results of it, actually, because who knows, maybe I'm wrong. But get a CAD drawing program and measure out 60 or 70 miles, and then what is it that they say, how far should something be below the horizon at the 8 inches per mile squared formula that they're saying? Was it, how many feet below the horizon should it be, that object?
How far away is the object?
60 miles.
60 miles. I want to say that's like 10 stories or something like that.
So that would be what?
About 120 feet.
About 120 feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what you want to do is now draw an arc from that point where you're standing to 120 feet down below the horizon on a 60-mile plane. Okay? And then continue that arc right around until you've got a globe and then measure the circumference of that globe and see if it's 25,000 miles. Okay, because that's what the circumference of the globe is supposed to be. I don't think it's going to be that big. I think it's going to be quite small, because I think they're claiming outrageous distances. I think it's more than 120 feet.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I think it is. I haven't looked into the flat earth.
And I've been asking one of the flat earthers, please tell me, what is your estimate for this? And none of them will answer me. Hey, look, I want to conduct a simple experiment. Tell me, what is your estimate? Because I don't know. Fuck, I left high school in grade 10. I don't know spherical trigonometry. I don't even know how to use a calculator properly. So, you know, someone tell me what is the estimate that you're giving, and get someone with a CAD drawing program to create that sphere and tell me what the circumference of that sphere is. Because you can just do the simple math. Okay, the Earth, they claim it's 25,000 miles around, right? So you get a circle, 360 degrees, divide that by 25,000, and you get, I did it the other day, it's 0.0144. So that's 0.0. So that's down in arc minutes. So that's consistent with what I said before. It's in arc minutes, per mile. So your measurement in per mile is in arc minutes. So it's way below 1 degree per mile. So, you know, what is the real formula? This 8 inches per mile squared just doesn't work. So why can't I mention, why can't I put that on the table and have this investigated and put there as valid research? Oh, you can't say that, you're a shill. What the fuck?
Well, they don't even know what the definition of a shill is. Because the definition of a shill would be like if somebody had one of those find the queen card games. And it was rigged, and somebody was going over there and saying, "Oh yeah, you know, you got to play this game," and he'd go over there and act like he's a winner, act like he's a winner.
I bought his snake oil, and it worked for me. My warts are gone.
That's a
fucking shill. Uh-huh. Exactly. You know, they got no fucking idea, mate. It's unbelievable. Right. I'm sick of this word being banded around. But hey, anyway, that's how you test for curvature, and you can do that yourself, and you can do that within a mile radius on any freaking spot on the planet. Okay, so. To me, this indicates that curvature, I mean, it may well be a ball. You know, I'm seeing a lot of evidence that suggests it's a ball. Retrograde motion. One flat earther put out a fucking video saying retrograde motion proves the sphere, debunked. And he put out this video saying retrograde motion is possible on a geocentric model, and he did the two animations, and he showed retrograde motion exactly, retrograde motion of Mars exactly as it works on the heliocentric model, but no one took into account that it happened in 3 fucking hours. Mars doesn't go into retrograde for 3 hours per fucking day. It goes into retrograde for fucking 3 months, 2 or 3 times a year. So I think there's a problem there. I think you just proved the fucking globe with your model. You know, so there's all of this sort of stuff out there, mate. It's unbelievable. You know, check that one out if you can find it. It's by a guy called Mr. Thrive and Survive, and it's about proving retrograde motion, debunking flat Earth. I've debunked it. And check out his model, mate. His retrograde takes place over 3 hours. And it actually debunks the flat Earth model. And he's still got it up there. This is the fucking brain of these people. This is the fucking level of mentality. It's something that's scary to see.
The other thing that I've been looking at is the heliocentric model in terms of astrology. Because Cherie does transit charts, birth charts. And these things are so chillingly accurate that we have to pay attention to what's going on in the stars. I mean, she'll tell me, today you're going to encounter this. You're probably going to have a conversation with your boss. Be careful what you say because it could get heated if you don't, et cetera, et cetera. You know, things like that. And she's so accurate in her transits and everything that I have to pay attention to it. And the only way that astrology really makes sense is if we were at the center of everything as opposed to just off in the middle of nowhere. I mean, according to mainstream astronomy, we are like a gas station out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, well, I know. Look, there's a lot wrong with what we're being told about where we live and what's actually going on here. But I have no fucking idea what the answers are. And honestly, it's the least of my concerns. You know, but this whole concept that exposing the flat Earth is the big lie that will expose all the other lies is completely and utterly fucking ridiculous. It's a psyop, you know. I mean, there's even a flat Earth card on the Illuminati deck, and freaking Barack Obama even said, I don't have time for a meeting of the Flat Earth Society. Everyone's latching onto it going, oh, see, he knows. No, for fuck's sake, if he knew and he was trying to freaking hide it from you, he wouldn't fucking mention it, you idiot. He fucking said it because he wanted you to jump down the rabbit hole, and you took the fucking bait, hook, line, and sinker. Now you're fucking arguing with all your peers who are trying to get this fucking criminal out of power with you. It's fucking ridiculous. It's such a play.
It's
got to be fucked how people can't see it. He wouldn't have fucking mentioned it if he didn't want you to jump down the fucking rabbit hole, you moron. Oh, my fucking God. These are the people we're trying to save, Chris. It's frustrating.
Well, when I saw the way Santos has been acting lately, that's when I said, you know what? I don't want to touch this. Because if it can make somebody like Santos lose his fucking mind, I don't want anything to do with
it anymore.
He's
completely lost his mind, mate. He's utterly toxic. He's totally locked in false ego.
Yeah.
He's really trying to get a response. He said on a show the other day, he said, Max Egan, he will drain your energy like a vampire. He's a government thug on the government payroll. He said that on.
Did he really?
He said that on a show the other day. I'll give you a link.
Oh my God!
He put all his, like, you would just hear what he says, man. He's apparently on one interview. He said that there's on his model of the flat Earth. I don't know where he got it from. But his model of the flat Earth, there's a
biblical dome with a firmament.
There's a mountain in the center of the flat Earth that is 700 miles high. But no one can see it because it's the same color as the sky.
I heard something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, that gets a little bizarre.
Yeah, it's pretty out there, mate. But check out this, and it's about 30. If you start at about 30 minutes in or 32 minutes in, and just listen for the next 4 or 5 minutes, and he's throwing a lot of truth in there as well, so he's mixing as much truth as he can in with this flat earth, and the ad hominem attacks are fucking insane, man. Yeah, I mean, you can watch the whole thing up to about 40 minutes. By then, it'll be too draining. It's just too toxic to want to watch. It's really disturbing stuff. I mean, he's fucking completely lost his mind, man. And he's calling out everybody who isn't a flat earther as being a paid government agent, and all meat eaters are demon worshippers. They're all going to rot in hell. And ball lickers. Anybody calls them demon worshipping, dog eating ball lickers. That's what they are. Yeah. They're all spiritually dead, he says. They're all in false ego. He's calling people all this shit, and he's saying that my syncretism is its only hope. Oh, there's no gloom. There's no gloom. We're heading for a future where we're all going to be dancing in the streets, and it's fucking unbelievable, mate. And this is all since he got out of jail, you know?
Right. This is the kind of infant-like mentality that this subject takes people to. That's what really bothers me about this whole thing. I mean, because I never would think that Santos would use words like he's using.
Mate, this is what I called in April last year. I said, watch out. And I put out that thing, a plea for sanity. See what's coming. Watch out what this does, folks. And it's fucking done it. Even beyond my expectations. I mean, like you say, the change in Santos. But I don't know. He's gone into jail. All those fines have suddenly disappeared. And now he's out there. And he says this is his goal. His goal is to shut up all these false prophets. He wants to shut down the independent media as much as he can. That's his new goal in life.
I read that he wants to shut down this station and that radio show and this radio show. And it seems like whenever, I don't know, I don't want to make this example, but the Rebecca Roth, you know, as soon as all of the stuff about her came out, that's the angle that she was trying to get people to do. Go flag their videos, go do this, go do that, shut these people down, etc. I don't act like that, and I mean, I know who we are. We're there for the truth. I never attack anyone.
I think he's gotten so incredibly toxic towards me because he wants a reaction, and he's going, all these people will be in jail. I'll see to it. Yeah, really? Yeah, I'll make sure of it. Oh, really? You're going to make sure of us all going to jail, are you, Santos? Interesting thing to say, you know?
Wow.
So, because he owed like so much money in fines. And he went to jail. When he came out of jail for the contempt charge, they never arrested him on all the fines, and suddenly he's free, and suddenly he's trying to shut down the independent media and screaming out about flat earth. I don't know, mate. And he's saying, oh, I'm not leaving the country anymore. I'm giving up traveling because I want to stay here and dedicate my life to syncretism. Oh, he's creating isms as well. And they're claiming to have discovered the link between all things, which is everybody's known about for years, but anyway. And so I think they've stopped him from traveling, and they've said, you know, you play your role right, and we'll let you go, you know?
Very well could be.
Yeah.
Man.
You know, I've got to fucking ask. A lot of people are saying, fucking, what's this change in Santos since he got out of jail? Did they get at him? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to ask, man. It's a really fucking... I mean, he's visited my fucking house. I tell you the fucking irony, though, mate. On his syncretism page where he's selling his... he's selling charts and shit now. All these syncretism charts and flat earth charts and stuff. $20 for a chart. You just get a download of it and you print it on A4, I guess. I mean,
wow.
$20. You'd want to be getting a big fucking poster in the mail for $20, wouldn't you?
Right, right.
But, and you look at the fucking, the graphic he's got on the site, and there he is wearing a Crow House t-shirt. Right?
No way.
Really?
Yeah, look at his Facebook page and all his syncretism pictures of him there with electricity and stuff. He's got a Crow House t-shirt on. I'm not going to tell him. People have been saying, I've got to get a picture of this and post it somewhere. Look, Max Santos is putting down Max and he's advertising his website. And I'm saying, no, don't tell him. Just see how long it fucking takes him. See how fucking brain-dead he is. See how long it takes him to realize that all of these graphics he's putting up and all these talks he's posting, he's got fucking Crow House t-shirt on in all of them. Maybe you should talk again, Santos. If you're going to tell people I'm a government agent, maybe you should fucking do another presentation in a different fucking shirt, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Change your shirt.
Wow. I never noticed that. I don't really watch too much of Santos stuff.
I've been checking out his Facebook page once every couple of days just to see what sort of hatred he's posting, see what his level of hatred is. It's been fucking off the charts. But the last day, he's actually been kind of calm, which is interesting. He'd probably have a relapse soon. But you can just go to his Facebook page and check out his photographs there. There's a couple of blue ones of him there with his syncretism thing. He's got this fucking crow house. Most of his favorite shots, he's wearing the crow house shirt. It's a fucking classic, mate.
Let me see. I'm going to his Facebook page now. I got to see this.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious, mate. And if you scroll right down, you'll find a link to his charts available now. And then you click there and go to the website, and there he is with a freaking crow house T-shirt, you know? I might even be able to find the
There link. It is, the Crow House T-shirt.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Wow, wow, and it's like right there.
I know, you can read it so freaking clear, yeah. It's
wow.
It's fucking classic. Synchronism.
Poor guy. Yeah, I don't like to laugh at other people's downfalls or misfortunes, but when you're a flat-out douchebag, it's hard to not.
Yeah, it's really a shame, isn't it?
It's
really a shame.
I remember a few years ago, he was like the next best thing since sliced bread, and everybody had wanted him on the show, and you know, his stuff on astrology and things like that. It didn't really make too much sense to me because I really don't have that ear for astrology like Cherie does. But
I always thought his astrotheology was a little bit eccentric, but relatively legitimate. He may have jumped the gun several times throughout any given presentation, but his information was legitimate enough to be entertaining. But now it's just disgusting.
I look at his main website. Check out his main website. Check out the graphic on his main fucking website, mate.
Universal Truth School. Look at that, the crow house.
Does he just not realize, like, what he's wearing?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, he's fucking lost his mind. Okay, if you want to put shit on me, you don't like me, great. But, hey, man, I think you should change your fucking graphic.
Yeah.
I don't think your mind's working fucking very well. I think I can fucking prove that it isn't. Have a look at your fucking graphic. Don't you even look at your fucking website. Are you so caught up on this picture of you standing there with your hand on your chest and looking so solemn? Really? Are you so caught up in yourself that you can't look at the fucking shirt that you're wearing? That you gave it my fucking... That I gave to you when you came to visit me in my house and I opened my fucking door to you and treated you like a friend? That shirt?
Wow.
Huh? Yeah?
It's that's, this guru syndrome shirt.
That's heartbreaking. I mean, it really is. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. He's lost his mind, mate. He's lost his fucking mind.
Everard wants to debate him real quick. And I said, look, he wants to debate him really badly. And I said, look, it's not going to
just be
turn
a
into anything productive.
Match. What for? What for? It'd be a fucking mudslinging match.
Right, exactly. Somebody like Jaren or... Mark Sargent, they would do a respectful debate. So if you're really interested, we can arrange something like that. But
it's not that. It's just like I was saying. You know, you can't enter into a debate. We've got no. You can't ask questions. It's ridiculous. And I spoke to Jaren. He seemed like a nice guy, but the problem is that if you can have a debate, but if you don't agree with the flat Earth community by the end of the debate, you'll be able to shill. It's as simple as that. So what's the point entering into the debate? Even if you put forth valid points. I go, oh my God, now this guy's got me doubting the flat earth. It's a fucking mind program. It's mind control. It's neuro listening program. He's a fucking shill. He's got me. Oh my God. You know, there's no point debating these people. I can't see anything constructive coming of it. I really can't. I mean, all you can do is put information out there and say, well, you know, fucking, I actually said, go, and I told someone about those geodetic studies that I just told you about. And you know what their response was? They said, surveyors are Freemasons. You fucking what? So now you're telling me there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands. You put this up to like probably millions of people part of this conspiracy now. You're telling me that every guy who works for every local council and every building company is fucking part of the conspiracy to fucking hide the fucking flat earth from you. And I'm pretty sure that it, being a Freemason is not a prerequisite to becoming a surveyor. You know? So, and frankly, I said, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a fucking Freemason or a lion tamer. It's a fucking theodolite, you know. It's a fucking instrument. Look through it yourself, for God's sake, and see what the fucking measurement is, you know. go and do the experiment yourself. It's a simple fucking experiment. All you need is a fucking mile of road or a mile of field, a fucking builder's square, and a fucking spirit level. These things aren't digital conspiratorial devices. It's a fucking spirit level and a fucking builder's square. A piece of fucking wood and a stick to stand up on it. Okay? It's that fucking simple. There's your test. Go and test for curvature yourself. Don't listen to what these fucking idiots are telling you online. Go and test yourself. And where are you even getting these measurements for all these things you're testing? What, off Google Earth? Isn't fucking Google Earth NASA? You don't get to fucking use Google Earth. Go fucking see the measurement yourself. Do you even know how to fucking measure something? Get a fucking theodolite. Measure out a fucking space on the ground and then go and put a post somewhere and triangulate it and measure the angle, and that's how you fucking measure something. Do you even know how to fucking measure? Where are you getting your information from? Have you gone and done any real-time experiments, you know? Have you gone and fucking booked a flight from Sydney to Santiago? You know, for fuck's sake, you people. Go out in the world and do some real-time fucking research and then come back and present your results instead of believing all these fucking YouTube videos. Because you're just fucking discrediting YouTube. You're discrediting real information by putting all this fucking bullshit out there and putting all this speculation out there based on the bullshit that you fucking assimilated. What the fuck is going on here? This is not research. It's a fucking circus, you know? So that'll be my debate. Never debate a Scorpio, mate. That's the problem, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's a fucking circus, Chris. It's a fucking circus.
No, I know. We
go ahead and fucking test for curvature. Do that test and tell me what your fucking results are. And get someone to do it in France and get someone to do it in the UK and someone to do it in Philadelphia and someone to do it in Australia, someone to do it in China. Do it all around the fucking world. And see if there's a freaking curvature and a variation in fucking degree, an angle of uprights in all of these places. And if there is, well, guess fucking what? You live on a fucking globe. End of story. And the guys who fucking made all the maps that you're using fucking to prove that it's flat years ago fucking prove that you're living on a globe to make the fucking maps. So fucking hell, anyway, that's my debate.
Here's the video they put out about us. They said that because we send our shows after every show to GCN, and GCN airs the next day on the AM and FM and on their website, that we are owned by Alex Jones, so Truth Frequency is owned by Alex Jones, and thus owned by NBC.
No, yeah, of course. That's how you do research, mate.
Right. And I said, did you not bother to do a fucking who is on the website? We don't use domains by proxy. It's very clear. You can see Chris Geo, Truth Frequency, established November 5th, 2009, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. It's a joke, mate. It's a fucking joke.
It was
joke.
Insulting because we put our blood, sweat, and tears into building Truth Frequency. And for them to say that, oh, they're owned by Alex Jones. Fuck
yeah, you're an Alex Jones shill, mate. You're an Alex Jones shill. Well, fucking got you busted. You just admitted it to me. I'm going to fucking publish this conversation. You're a fucking Alex Jones shill.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, but we've
part
been,
of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
We've
it's
been
a program, mate. It really has.
It has.
We've been really unwilling to use the word shill though, because the flat Earth people use it so much, and they don't even seem to know what the word means.
Right.
They don't know what the word shill means. They don't know what the term psyop means, and they fucking use it all the time. And just fucking look at my videos, and that's living fucking proof. Look at the comment section of my videos. They have no fucking idea what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
and hey, I'm even saying the Earth's a globe.
It's just about over, though. I mean, the Flat Earth caught steam for a little while. It was fun to talk about, but I don't hear anybody talking about it anymore.
Mm. That's why people like Santos are getting so irate and lashing out, because he's staked his whole reputation on it. And when he actually stayed with a friend of mine called Adrian, who's a Krishna, who's fully into the Vedas, and he picked up like a half-cocked version of the understanding of the Vedas and realized that the Vedas contains a flat earth cosmology. And so he could use the Vedas and Krishna and all this sort of stuff to tie all of his previous astrological videos in with the flat earth model and claim that he's found the link between it all. And not lose face on all of the hundreds of videos he put out on astrology by now claiming there are no planets and the Earth's flat. You know, so he's trying to tie it all together to lose face, to maintain face, and it's not working. So he's just proved himself to be a complete fucking fraud that made all this shit up right from the beginning and just stole all this fucking every bit of research he fucking could to create this fucking thing, and that he has no fucking credibility. And so he's just lashing out, as you would. By, you know, publicly fucking destroying yourself the way he's done.
We did a couple of Flat Earth videos, and when we did, I always preface it by saying, I'm not a flat earther. I'm not a truther. I'm just a radio show host, and I enjoy talking about interesting ideas. Now, blah, 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 blah. It was from both sides. You're a flat earth idiot. And then the other side, you're a shill because you won't admit that you're part of the flat earth movement. Yeah, it's like, I'm talking about the fucking subject here, okay? I can only talk about it as far as I know it and as far as I can prove it, which isn't very far.
Yeah, well, the flat earthers think that all the ball earthers are a shill, and the glow earthers think that all the flat earthers are a shill, and because I believe the universe is electrical, they all think I'm a shill, so...
Right, right.
You know, it's fucking unbelievable. Then you got Santos putting out all this shit saying I'm paid by the government, which is fucking ridiculous, which would indicate that he's actually paid by the government now, so...
That's... When you said that, that's the first thing that came to mind, especially with the arresting.
Yeah, watch that link. Like I said, you only got to watch probably 35 minutes, 36 minutes. You watch the part where he says, you know, I'm a vampire and I'm a government thug and we're all on the government payroll and, you know, all this, you know, these fucking open accusations, you know, actually defaming, fucking false slander. And, I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, I got death threats and shit from Arthur Christian doing all this sort of shit for me years ago. Now I got Santos doing it, you know, more death threats. Thanks for coming. Great shit, you know. But his audience has dwindled so much. He keeps saying, he says one point on it, he says, like, I get millions of emails from people about Max Egan who've led him the wrong way. Millions of people.
Wow.
Who are just so depressed and despondent because of listening to Max Egan, you know. So I'm really depressing, mate. I'm really fucking depressing to listen to. It's you just want to slit your wrists after 10 minutes. And,
This is making me want to remove any flat earth videos that we have. I already removed it from the title, and I call it holographic reality instead of flat earth.
Mate, watching some of Santos's recent interviews is fucking enlightening, I tell you. They're just even whatever topic you get him onto, it just lapses into ad hominem attacks. It's ridiculous, and how he wants to shut down everybody. Yeah, whatever topic he gets onto, it always comes back to that. He doesn't just say it once, it's the whole show. And the poor kid that's interviewing him is kind of starstruck, you know. So, yeah, it's a shame. But anyway, everyone's saying through it, mate. I think it's been great, actually, that Santos has gone flat earth and gone so fucking crazy because everyone's going, whoa, hang on, maybe this stuff ain't so solid after all. You know, so thanks, Santos. You're helping wake people up.
Wow. It is what it is. We're going to let you go. It's getting late over here.
Yeah, we're getting tired.
I gotta go and eat something.
All right, brother. Good talking to you.
It was
and,
great talking to you.
Yeah, we most likely will see you in Ohio, so that's going to be really fun if we get to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I really want to go.
Yeah, no worries. I'll edit this down, and I'll post a version of the show, too. So.
Okay.
All good. No worries, brother. Talk
Excellent.
Soon.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right, thank you.
Bye.